99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, Birds. Welcome to this edition of the Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. I'm Mikey Fernelli alongside Braden Fogerson and Ben Hootie. We're all here today. It took weeks, but the crew's finally all together. Various reasons, trips, and all kinds of new screenings to get Ben to be part of the crew. But here we are, all three of us, and we will be with you for every episode for the rest of this season, barring some unfortunate events. Who knows? I mean, who knows what could happen? I mean, I heard Ben might try and walk on the volleyball team, and Fogerson over here is going to probably try and walk on the baseball team. So I might just be alone at some point within the next couple weeks.
Well, that's kind of a sad outlook there, Mikey.
If you guys are talented athletes, I want you to go use your skills in ways. I mean, we could still have you back on as interviews.
You know how much training we have to do for the Fall Hall World Series.
Yeah, well, yeah. Fair enough.
Exactly.
A yearly softball game that is an absolute display of athleticism, as mm-hmm. you can imagine, of journalism majors. Ben, you're walking on the volleyball team, apparently.
I have very little experience in volleyball. Now, granted, they might need me considering what's going on right now, but my sand volleyball performance last year was not the greatest, so I think I would only bring them
out there at Cardinal Court.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The Cardinal Court sand volleyball courts are it's like Madison Square Garden or Yankee Stadium. It's just one of those places you got to check off the bucket list, right? But
exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about this dynamic we have here on the show. I made sure we had Ben join the show because for the last couple semesters I was mad about being the only Cubs fan voice. So now we have Ben here with us to make it a 2-1 against those baby birds in St. Louis. But I don't think we're gonna do much baseball today. Sadly, we'll get into it more in the weeks to come as the playoffs kind of come to fruition. But I think today's main focus is gonna be football for the second half of the show. Although, stick with us because in segment 2 today at 6:15, we will have Haley Glover of the ISU soccer team. Braden and I were on the call on TV on Sunday as she scored 4 in a game, what Braden called a golden sombrero on air. It was incredible.
That's a baseball reference. I don't even know if that's a soccer thing. But a hat trick is a thing at least. So it was so cool to be able to watch that and very excited to be able to talk to her. So,
all right, well, let's get into this first segment, though. We're going to do a Redbird roundup, as always. It's kind of a tale of two cities, duality of college sports programs. You guys want the good news or the bad news first? Which one are we talking about first?
I think we keep on a positive note.
Keep it positive. The 2-0 Illinois State Redbird football team goes into Charleston, Illinois this Saturday to face Eastern Illinois in the 111th edition of the Mid-America Classic. Broxback and the boys are looking to remain 3-0 undefeated. They come in as number 25 Illinois State in the FCS rankings and one of the top defenses in the FCS. Braden, you called the first home game. You know more than anyone. From that first game against Dayton, what did you see in them that you knew they'd be at this point with a FCS ranking?
So it's hard to tell exactly because we knew, a home game and then a game against a team that wasn't crazy hard to beat. Just easing into the schedule, but it's more figuring out how your team works together. And everything went perfectly. The first game, I mean, just phenomenal. And then your second game, you roll in and, even toward the end when it got a little bit close, getting a late score, being able to show that you can get it done in the fourth quarter just like you can in the first. It was a really good showing. And now you go into this Eastern Illinois game in Charleston you're just in good shape because, again, not much travel, facing a team that's definitely going to be able to be competitive against them. It's a good start to your season.
We talked about it 2 weeks ago now, Mikey, before the season started, and I said in the kind of football that they play in the Missouri Valley Conference, it's important to have a good defense. And obviously they lost a couple key pieces last year, but only giving up 18 points through your first two games is extremely positive, and I think that's a sign of great things to come as tougher opponents come down here down the line. And obviously the offense is kind of rolling on all cylinders as well with an incredible rushing attack right now.
The great Steve Cease, one of the greatest minds in FCS football, has a whole board in his office down the hall here where he ranks the FCS teams in a potential playoff format. if they ever have an FCS college football playoff style format, Steve needs to be on that selection committee, by the way.
Exactly.
But anyway, he is taking it as a art form to know the ins and outs of the FCS. Our radio advisor, Steve Cease, he told me almost prophecy wise a couple weeks ago before the season started, they will start 4-0. Everyone will get super excited, and then it's going to fall apart from there. And I can see that coming. I want to stay positive about it, but I mean, playing in Charleston this weekend should be good, but they should be able to take the W. And then, of course, Lindenwood at home next week, and that's a team that just entered D1 last season.
They will at least be 3-1 because Lindenwood recruits people from my high school. So they are not going to be able to play.
We're
going to
eat our words after this segment. If that ends up becoming, that's going to be a clip. If they end up falling to Lindenwood, that exact thing you just said. But there is three home games in a row starting with Lindenwood. So, I mean, yeah, you have to play South Dakota State and Indiana State, who are both solid programs, but home games help. Home games always help.
Exactly. You know, when you're able to play at home, when you're able to get some home cooking, and even when you're on road games against teams that aren't too crazy far away, it's good to get your dress rehearsals out of the way for the big games, because South Dakota State is game number 5 on the schedule, and that is going to, in all likelihood, be the most difficult game of the season. So everything leading up to then is about trying to figure out what works for the offense, what works for the defense, how your special teams works well together before you face that very difficult opponent.
Kind of feels eerily similar to last year when they went into North Dakota State, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And when kind of like it felt like the tides were finally turning and things were looking in a positive direction, and they kind of got walked all over down there. So if they could play close in that South Dakota State and South Dakota State game after starting hopefully 3-1 or 4-0, then I think we're looking very positively at the rest of the season, even though tougher opponents will continue to come as we go down the line.
And even with South Dakota State, you'll be at home. It's blackout. It's fireworks. You're definitely going to have all the fan support you need against that tough opponent too. So,
on the other side of the coin, in a different facility just down the campus, even right next door, even like just a little quick little walk, 2 minutes down the path towards Tri, there is CEFQ Arena and your Illinois State volleyball team, who won the conference 5 years in a row and then missed the conference playoff tournament last season, and have opened their season in non-con at 0-9 for their start. Allie Matters' second year at the helm of that team. Braden, you and I both called a game last weekend in their first home schedule, their first home slate. This team, it's not that they don't have fight. They have a lot of fight. It's just the wins just haven't been coming. No wins by any standards at 0-9.
What sucks is Allie's team has great culture. It feels very much like everyone's a family and everyone's excited to play when they are on the court. And they're a lot of fun to watch. I was only able to see the most recent match against Miami, in which it was a 2-3 loss. It was very close. I actually probably should have won that. And so I saw a lot of good out of, especially their front four, whomever they had up there. They were rolling with that. So they looked pretty good. But it's very early, and now you've got the Capital Credit Union Classic. You're in Green Bay. You're starting against St. Thomas, who only has 2 wins on the year. So they're not going to be a bad opponent to be able to start it off. So I feel like it just takes one win, and then you see if you can get something rolling. But until then, they've just been kind of crippled, so to speak, by the fact that it's just been so hard to get that first one out of the way.
I think what is kind of positive, there is nothing positive about the start, but obviously when you look at the roster, it is much younger than what we've looked at years past. So there is a learning curve, especially when you're looking at some of these opponents. There's a lot of Power 5 in there, so it's a tough start to your season. Obviously you would want a couple wins at this point, but I feel like the softer part of your schedule is coming up with some of these teams that are outside of the Power 5, obviously before we get into Valley play.
I think everyone can resonate, whether or not you played volleyball or whether or not you follow college volleyball. I mean, it's here on the Pulse of Rubber Nation, so if you don't, please listen in. But
yeah.
I think anyone can resonate with being on a team that's had that week of a start, right? Like, I mean, I think everyone's been a fan of a team like that. Maybe you've played in a team like that. It is hard to keep your head straight, right? I mean, being on a team that's 0-9, and there's only so many things you can say, right? Like, I mean, in these press conferences and things like that we've been in on, how many times can we ask the same questions without feeling bad? Like when will you be able to get that off your back, to get that first win? And it's almost starting to feel more and more like a daunting task. And I just hope this weekend in Green Bay, they are able to get a win or two so they enter that Valley season with that weight off their back at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much more to add to it until we get to see this team play again this weekend. And like I said, I feel like it's a good, you know, they've got good odds of turning things around starting this weekend. So we'll see there. But just trying to get things back rolling. And honestly, you know, you set out to try and get some tough opponents early on to kind of prove that you can show up against those teams. They did well last year in those situations, beating Illinois a year ago, but so far it's just been kind of unfortunate for them that they've had such a tough start.
So let's talk a little bit before we end this segment. We'll kind of segue into what our interview is today. We're going to talk to MVC Player of the Week, Haley Glover, who is going to join us live in the studio. She plays for the ISU soccer team, not always a team that we discuss here on the zone all too often because we're not calling their games here on the radio, but Braden and I have the unique opportunity to be able to call some of their games this season via ESPN Plus and Redbird Productions. So we've seen a lot of their stuff so far this season. They now sit at 2-3-1, two in a row when it comes to the win department. We called the game last weekend, and what'd you see in that one, Braden? Obviously, there's one key thing that we got to highlight from that game.
It's a lot of fun when you're the team that you're rooting for does well. You know, it's one thing if you go up and see this brand new sport you've never seen and you're rooting for a team and they don't play well. But when, when everything is rolling and when you have one player that, you know, I mean, that last goal, that fourth goal, it was like, it's in her foot. It's like, she's got it. I know she has it because of how well she had been doing throughout that game. It's so much more fun when you're able to watch a team play so well.
I'm learning soccer still, as I call these games. I'll be honest. I mean, I'm really starting to enjoy calling these games, but I played a lot of hockey growing up, and I think there's similar qualities when it comes to when someone's having their day, when someone's hot, when their stick of their foot has that magic, like, no one's in their way. It's just like basketball.
I feel like that's why it's so hard to watch volleyball struggle, too, because I'm such a big fan of volleyball by now, because my first year calling it for WZND and my first 2 years here at ISU, they were so good. They were so much fun to watch. They were such a team that you were proud of having on campus that it's that much harder when they're struggling. And now you have a team that, you know, this is my first time being able to really follow soccer. You know, the season as a whole hasn't been great yet, but to have a game like that gets you a lot of momentum and gets you feeling good about the future.
Yeah, completely agreed. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Haley Glover joins the show live to tell us a little bit more about her team and her great game last weekend. You're listening to The Red Zone. Welcome back into The Red Zone. Mikey Fernelli, Braden Fogerson, Ben Hootie, and now joined by Haley Glover from the ISU soccer team for a quick interview with us here for the next 15 or so. Haley, thank you for doing this.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So you had a career game on Sunday last week, and I know I won't talk about it the whole time because I probably don't want to do it the whole time, but what was that like for you, just first and foremost?
Super, super exciting. Something I haven't done at the collegiate level, and it's not something that happens all the time. So
yeah,
being able to do that was just super exciting, super fun.
Has you ever done that in high school?
Yeah, he cut me off. Yeah, my same question.
In high school, yeah, but just not at this level.
So you had in high school, is that the last time you'd done something like that, like 4 goals in a game?
Yeah.
When was the last 3 goals in a game for you?
Probably high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we've been calling games on TV, so I was looking, and you were the team goal leader last season, but it was 4 in and of itself. So, yeah. I mean, you're already past that now at 5. What's the goal now for this year? Are you just going to keep tallying them up?
Yeah, that's always the goal. But really, just trying to be as impactful as I can.
Yeah. So the team, 2-3-1 now, 2 wins in a row. What's gone right in the last two victories, would you say?
I think we've really tried to focus on the details and actually execute them. And in the past 2 games, we've been able to do so. And having 2 wins, I think this gives us really good momentum in the right time to go into conference play.
So in talking to your coach this past week, she was able to talk a lot about finishing when you get close and when you get an opportunity. And your team had been doing real well, you know, in recent matches and doing that. So does it kind of feel like that's been more of a focus in practice, or is that just kind of always been her thing and she, you know, you've just now started being able to, you know, start, you know, getting it done in that department?
Yeah, I think it's definitely been a focus in the past couple weeks, probably more so than ever. It's obviously always a point, you know, made within trainings and obviously games. But It's been something that we've really been focusing on, and I think it's a detail that we've obviously been not executing in past games. So we've been able to do so and got a couple wins from it.
It's obviously still early in the season, but what are some things that you've seen out of your entire team that you think can lead to success down the line?
I think we've learned from each game, and we're kind of more on of a collective page than we have been last season and in the beginning of the season. So I think if we keep staying with, you know, our team goals and really trying to get closer every day, then I think we'll have a pretty good season.
Feels like the team has a very young foundation, right? Like there's
very
a lot
young.
Of, yeah. I mean, what, how has that been for you? Like there seems like there's a lot of freshmen and sophomore players who have already made an impact. I mean, you've been here for, this is your fourth year, correct? So it's, is it different? Is it a positive different? What's it been like this season?
Personally, I think it is a very positive thing to have. You know, our younger players are contributing a lot positively. I mean, three of my four goals were assisted by freshmen. So just by that, you know, they're making a very good impact on the team, and I think they're definitely what we needed.
So being a normal here for a couple of years, we'll kind of switch. We'll get out soccer because I know that's all you, you know, probably live, breathe, and do. So being a normal here for a number of years, is there a favorite food spot in Uptown or anywhere in Normal?
Probably DP Dough.
Yeah?
Yeah, after a game. Super good.
Is that a team thing or is that more you? Like, does it, will I ever see, like, after a soccer game, just like the whole team just like flock to DP Dough or?
I think it depends. Probably see me there, but and whoever, whatever family I've got up here with me, but
yeah.
Yeah.
What's the typical calzone order for you?
Oh, probably sausage and green pepper.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was it about coming to ISU that you specifically were first attracted to, like, you know, within this program and the university?
Definitely the culture. I mean, culture has changed, but, you know, it's still part of, like, who I am. But I would say just the overall environment, aside from campus. But the team is obviously a big part of, you know, my time here. So that was really important. And, yeah.
What's your favorite class that you have on campus?
Ooh. Well, I'm a finance major. Probably my, like, financial, like, real estate class that I'm in right now.
Well, what do you like about that?
I guess I have an interest in real estate, so.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that'll do it, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the goal after college, to go into that?
Not really. Maybe eventually, but I have a different plan, so now.
Do you want to try and continue soccer?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I mean, and it seems like a lot of times for college athletes, it's a great experience and they're kind of ready to move on after their career. And I'll move it on to this. You talked about the culture changing in your time here. How much of that is Coach Kresge? Like, is in her, you know, 2 years now?
It's a lot. I mean, as a team, we do focus on, you know, trying to build a, you know, positive culture. And I think we've done a really good job, or she's done a really good job since she's gotten here. But it's definitely a big piece of the team.
Looking at your conference schedule here coming up, is there a shift in the mindset moving on from the non-con and thinking, okay, we got two wins under our belt and now we move on to this? Because I know Coach, when we talked, said something like it's a goal all season long to compete with that top of the conference. And is that kind of the mindset shift?
Yeah. And, you know, in the games before, it's just kind of preparing you, figuring out what works, what doesn't. And now you just really have to execute in these next 10 games. And
what have you learned in your first couple of years that you think you're going to take into your last season?
I think the biggest thing that I've learned is to just keep going. Like, you're going to have tough days, you're going to have good days, and really have to learn from, you know, the bad days so that you can have more good days than bad.
Haley, what's your pet peeve?
Ooh, like my soccer pet peeve?
Well, it could be anything. I mean, if you have a soccer pet peeve, that's fine, but if you have just a regular pet peeve, you know.
I guess I'll stick with soccer pet peeve. Probably flopping.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah,
well, that's one thing you hear a lot about soccer. Like, I mean, yeah. I'm just starting to get into it, calling some games on TV and stuff, and it sounds like that's something that is a pretty significant part of it. I mean, is that how often are you seeing that, like, on the field in your against your opponents?
I guess it just depends on the day, but I'd just say overall, it's definitely a pet peeve.
Yeah,
we'll keep it at the professional level and say, What is there any certain player that you kind of look up to or like you kind of resemble your game off of on the professional side of soccer?
My brother, actually my younger brother is a professional soccer player.
Okay.
So
really?
As time has gone on, that's kind of, it's weird, but that's kind of who I look up to because he does a lot of good things and so definitely somebody I could, I guess, base my game off of since we play, you know, forward. So, yeah.
Correct me if this is wrong, but on your profile on the Redbirds website, it says your dad was an athlete too.
Yeah, he played a little bit of college football.
So was that something growing up? Like, was it just soccer for you, or did you ever try, like, any other type of sports?
I played all other sports, but it's always been soccer.
What was it about it that you were just like, yeah, this is my thing?
Well, my dad coached me all until, like, fourth grade. So that it just kind of always went back to it because, you know, he was my coach. And
would you ever consider a coaching career after you're done?
I've thought about it. Not too much, but it's definitely an option.
Yeah, I think that'd be a really cool way to continue to be with the sport, obviously, but it's probably nuts to think about it considering this is your last year at ISU in the sport, and has it just flown by?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, when you play somewhere for 4 years and you have been a starter for a number of years here now, I'm sure it just kind of like all kind of blurs together at some point.
Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to for the rest of this year? You got the conference season left. What's the kind of maybe off the field or on it? What are the main goals and what are you looking forward to?
Just really being as impactful as I possibly can. It's just the goal.
Yeah. So that's a good one to have, right? And it's you obviously did that on Sunday. There's no doubt there.
So in order to try and balance out this podcast, Haley, you're from Columbia, Illinois. So does that make you a Cardinal fan?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clear that out because they're both Cubs fans. Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure everything's even right now, you guys. So,
what's your favorite sport to like watch on TV? Like when you're not playing soccer, and aside from soccer, I'll say that.
Aside from soccer, probably basketball.
Are you Bulls? Like, I mean, the St. Louis Hawks back in the day. Like, what's the fandom there?
I don't have like a specific team, but like if I'm going to watch another sport, then yeah.
Very cool.
Are you more on the college side of basketball or NBA? Because I know that sometimes that could be divisive amongst basketball fans.
Probably college.
College.
Yeah. See, a lot of people think it's a better product. We're going to wrap this up here soon, but first and foremost, before we do that, is there anyone you want to thank now that you have the mic here in front of you just to for the season or family or anything like that?
I think there's a lot of people to thank. I'll keep it short. Obviously, teammates, coaches, families, all staff that, you know, is involved with the team. But, yeah, can't do it without them.
Haley, we appreciate it. The Redbirds soccer team back in action at home tomorrow night. Go on out there to the pitch and enjoy that one if you are in town in Normal. We come back in the Red Zone. We're going to get into some NFL talk here on 103.3 WZND. Welcome back to the Red Zone. Braden Fogerson, Mikey Finelli, Benjamin Hootie. We're going to talk a lot about football for the next half an hour because it's football season. For me, it's playoff baseball season, but the people want football. I'm kidding. I'm a football fan, too. But we have pick six for the last 15 minutes. Before then, we'll get into some just genuine recap of what was an eventful, a bet losing, a dream crushing week one. For many teams, myself included, our Chicago Bears and plenty. But we'll get into the Bears. We'll have plenty of time for the Bears. Let's start where the season started. Thursday night, here comes Dan Campbell and the Lions, apparently. And Ben is tapping his chest, telling us either he had that pick or he just wants to tell us about it.
I didn't have that pick. But, Mikey, I just want to say
you had
a tweet that said that the Lions are going to get exposed as frauds.
I deleted it.
No, you didn't.
I did. I deleted it after the game. Yeah.
No.
It was. I retweeted Dick Butkus's tweet, and he said something like, "Can't believe it's a football Thursday again. Like, can't wait to see the Lions lose on TV or something like that."
Yeah.
So I wasn't the first one to say it. It was actually NFL Hall of Famer Dick Butkus. So take it up with him. Okay, not me.
I mean, granted, week one overreactions do happen, but the Lions look pretty good. And
no, they're not frauds.
There was a couple of other things that go into play with this game, like Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore dropping a lot of footballs and Patrick Mahomes not having his number one target. But I think it, we can say, maybe not necessarily week one overreaction, and I know Steve's going to like this, but I think the Lions are a pretty good team.
You know, it would be a week one overreaction is taking anything out of the Browns and Bengals matchup because it was raining,
yeah.
It was sloppy, nobody could pass, mm-hmm. and the Browns' run game is so much better than pretty much anyone else's run game except maybe a couple, and that includes the Bengals. The Bengals need their receiving core to be able to do well, and it was just a sloppy game. I don't even know if the cameras really picked up on it, but the people that were there talked about it raining throughout, being soaked and stuff like that. Not to mention week one, you know, I mean, you know, the Packers did it before. There's always a team that like has a really sloppy week one and then turns it around, still wins their division, still does really well. So,
and that's the same thing that happened with the Bengals last year. They started off 0-2 and managed to rattle off 8 wins after that.
Mm.
You could tell that, granted, obviously the Browns run game dominated the Bengals, but Joe Burrow was just in some kind of a funk. He had to put on a glove in the second quarter, which mm-hmm. he's never done in his entire career.
Yeah.
And that was simply because he couldn't get a grip on the ball. So I agree with you, Braden. I think the Bengals will be just fine. It's just a matter of getting good weather, maybe. I don't know.
Let's continue to take it game by game. I kind of like how you guys have started this off. So I think one game that people didn't really talk about because it was just kind of not one that just kind of got hidden in the afternoon slate was the Ravens and Texans. The Ravens just blew the Texans out of the water in a 25-9 victory. I don't think there was any expectations that it would go otherwise, but the first thing we've seen of the Texans with a quote brand new look is just a loss to the Ravens.
Yeah, nothing crazy thing about it. They're more focused on their next matchup, which, if I remember correctly, is against the Bengals. So Bengals have not much momentum. The Ravens had an easy win that you can't really gain much info out of. So,
I will say, though, the tough part about that win for the Ravens is they lost their number one rusher in J.K. Dobbins for the season. That poor guy. I mean, this is the second time in 3 seasons that he's had a season-ending injury right at week one. So, I mean, they really didn't need to do much. Lamar didn't even throw a touchdown pass, so I don't know. We'll see what happens with those Ravens. I feel like it's the same thing kind of every year at this point. But, J.K. Dobbins was definitely a tough loss for them.
Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers have gone from Brady to Baker, hoping it takes them to the Big Bowl. That's a lot of alliteration.
That was actually really good. I didn't even really watch this game. So,
that's the Bears' date this weekend, by the way.
From it, but it is a little bit surprising to see the Vikings kind of start off a little bit slow, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the Buccaneers take the Vikings 2017, and that's your final score there. I think we're going to see the Vikings again tonight, right?
Yeah.
People are always going to try and say the lights are too bright. Good luck, Kirk. You know what I mean? I'm taking the Eagles to win this game. We'll talk about it more in pick 6, but I think the Vikings should be fine. I mean, that's a high-powered offense.
Did you see the thing about, it came out today, Baker Mayfield was, like, stealing the Viking signs, like he knew what play was coming every single time.
Yeah.
Which I think probably played an impact in winning this game. But yeah, that Buccaneers defense is still pretty good. Mm-hmm. It really hasn't gone away since the Super Bowl. And I think that will probably continue to stick. The NFC East is not that competitive. It's kind of all these teams in the middle. So, you know, maybe the Buccaneers do kind of sit in that 8-9 range and they get back to the playoffs like they did a year ago without Tom Brady.
Two teams without the highest expectations, the Falcons and Panthers, they did battle on Sunday as well. The Falcons took that one 24-10, and that was the first we got to see of Alex Berger's favorite, Bryce Young, and the Carolina Panthers, but they lost by 14.
Tyler Algier, baby, I picked him up for a reason. I knew that it would take a little bit before he gets replaced by Bijan, so I think that's good to see, too. And their running backs are just really good. They have a lot of depth there.
That's how you win football games. Look at all these teams that have won the last couple of years with these two running backs. Tyler Algier, as you said, had a great performance, but Bijan did just as good because he's also in there for receiving. So I'm excited to see this Falcons team. I think that they could be pretty sneaky with Ridder and Algier and Robinson, so we'll see where they go the rest of the season.
How'd you guys get here today? Did you drive? Did you take the bus?
Walked.
Did you have that fire in your belly when you got here? Because that's what the Cardinals think. And they took a loss 2016 to the Commanders, but if you saw that video of their new
no idea where you're going with that.
You've seen that video, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Their new head coach, whose name is actually escaping me right now. What's his name? Oh shoot, I don't remember it, but it's he's one of those guys who just seems like he's going to be a Gannon? 1 year coach. Yeah. He's just
he kept the starting quarterback secret to like the right. day of. Like and he has no idea what he's
Jonathan
doing.
Gannon.
Yeah, Jonathan Gannon, that's his name, and they are already they're tanking already in a year that's going to be heavy quarterback heavy at the top of the draft again. They're already tanking and. Yeah, that's not a game I want to dwell on here. That's I'm actually surprised the Cardinals kind of kept it close. They're trying to not to show that they're tanking as much because you know how the Bears tanked, but they didn't make it obvious for the first couple weeks. At least they actually won week one against the 49ers. So, and we'll never be able to take that away. Let's move on. That's such a silly game. Jaguars and Colts. So the Jaguars had T-Law, Calvin Ridley, just a number of great offensive players clicking together for a great week one win against the Colts, 31-21. I think that's going to be a team to be reconciled with in the AFC.
So I picked the Jaguars to be my defense in all five of my fantasy leagues, which is way too many fantasy leagues, by the way, because I knew their schedule would be light. They have, you know, 8 games against their own division, and then the other division they're facing each team in is the NFC South. Going to be a very light schedule, a lot of easy games. This next week is going to be against the Chiefs, so that won't count as one of those. But the Jaguars are going to defend real well this year, and they have a much improved offense as well. I think there's going to be a lot of these wins for the Jaguars this year.
I think I'll talk more about the Jags in pick 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
ISU zone, Brock Purdy. 30-7 against the Steelers, Iowa State. Brock Purdy with the win in the helm of the 49ers offense just pummeled the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Ben, you're waggling your pen there by the mic. You got something to say about the 49ers.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys talked about it last week with predictions and stuff, but I'll go on record now and say the 49ers are my Super Bowl pick. I thought the Steelers were going to be actually really like good this year, and obviously week one, 49ers just dominated mm-hmm. this game. Their yep. defense is legit, probably the best in the league. And all that they really needed to see was that Purdy continued to improve from last year. Obviously, hurt his hand in the NFC Championship last year, so that was tough. But, I mean, just seeing these numbers, Christian McCaffrey, 152 rushing yards and a touchdown, and Brandon Ayuk with 2 touchdowns at 129 yards. That's all I need to see to really like this Niners team. And, yeah, I think they're going to do really good things this year.
All right, Titans and Saints.
I miss you, Derek. I miss you so much.
The Saints with a 16-15 win, and Fulgerson, I'll delegate this one to you, because as you said, Derek Carr with a win in his first game in New Orleans.
Well, the Saints are supposed to win their division. Again, it's just a lot of, you know, fighting from the bottom of the barrel, so it wouldn't be very impressive if they do. But they have a solid enough offense. I think Lattimore's still really good, and, you know, they still have, you know, everything's just okay. Nothing is glaringly bad, and you'll just take that with this division. So I think you know, Titans are really bad this year and really kind of pathetically managed. They are at the wrong end of their playoff run, and you know, just kind of, you know, a close match between a team that's just starting to try and figure out how to be competitive and a team that has a long way to go before they'll be competitive again.
Derek's former team also got a 1-point win and a very similar score, Raiders and Broncos. Raiders take that one, 17-16. Is it an early overreaction to say the Sean Payton-Russell Wilson combo is maybe not the dreams that it was made of?
Well, the Broncos are a free win all the time, and so I'm gonna hold on. I'm sure I will talk a lot about the Raiders this year. I think I'll talk a lot about the Raiders this year, so I think this is my time that I'll just hold off on thinking too hard about this one.
But they got the win. They the win's in the win column.
They did.
They got as much of a win as the 49ers.
And they are the AFC West leading Raiders, and I will take that.
They're the only team that has a win, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo,
mm-hmm.
game manager.
Jimmy G. Gucci Garopp.
Let's go.
Well, I remember him being
and their owner, Tom, wasn't even at the game. He was
trying to figure out whether he was going to play for the Jets later on Monday. So,
you ruined my segue.
Oh, no.
He was in Foxborough where the Eagles won 25-20 in that one, in his jersey retirement ceremony. They spoiled the day against the greatest that ever did it.
Mikey being so mad about losing a segue.
I had such a good flow going between games. And I'm like, and their owner wasn't there. I was going to go, he was in Foxborough where the Eagles won 25-20. And instead, Fulgerson just butts in with something about Brady and the Raiders. I don't know. Whatever. So let's Fulgerson take the mic.
I don't know. Is there anything, you know, I mean,
yes,
Eagles were supposed to be good.
But the
Eagles
were supposed to be good. They spoiled Brady.
The Patriots supposed to be okay.
I think that they look pretty, like, Mac Jones looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that's the one positive you could take away from this game. And, you know, they got a big game. Sunday Night Football lights are on against the Dolphins this week. So we'll see what happens with those Pats.
I don't have a transition because Braden ruined my flow. Rams and Seahawks. Rams won 30-13. Stafford was able to connect with his teammates after all, including just a breakout performance by Puka Akua, I believe you pronounce his name. Yeah, and he is awesome. And the Stafford-led Rams team might actually have lightning in a bottle in what could be Aaron Donald's final season in the NFL. Nice win against a high-powered offense in Seattle.
Yeah, that's all you can really ask for. I think a lot of people are really down on them going into this year, trading away Jalen Ramsey, losing a couple of pieces from that Super Bowl team 2 years ago. So, I mean, when you have Stafford and when Cooper Kupp eventually comes back and Aaron Donald, you have three of the best players in the NFL, and that might be all you need for success. So we'll see what happens with those Los Angeles Rams.
That one guy in your fantasy league, everyone has one, that drafted Tua Tagovailoa in about the seventh round or so and then ended up getting a win last week because Tua passed for over 400 yards in a 36-34 victory for the Dolphins against the Chargers. I guess we're kind of ping-pong here. I'll go back to Fulgerson. What'd you see in this one for the Dolphins in a super high-powered offense led by Mike McDaniel?
When the Dolphins have Tua, they're a really good offense. Chargers are always going to be a really good offense. So just two teams that kind of, you know, you expect to do well offensively, not amazing defensively. And they both, you know, the Chargers need interior alignment so bad. And, you know, the Dolphins just were just a little bit better.
I don't want to talk about the next game. Can we just skip it? Like, I don't think anyone fully expected the Bears to be that good, and if they did, they were wrong.
Yeah,
and I'm wrong.
It was bad. It's hard to sit on at this point.
I haven't even talked about it all week. I've avoided it. Like, people talking about it around the office here and stuff, I avoid the conversation.
It kind of just, the game ended and we moved on in this upcoming week, but what is there really to be positive
game ended
about?
There was
right
there
now?
Was a Cubs game on, so I watched that instead, and they lost too. But
no, they won that game.
Oh, they did on Sunday. Yes, it feels few and far between these days because it's been a rough little go the last week. But yeah, the Packers took that one 38-20, and that's all about that one. At least we weren't the Giants. Cowboys beat the Giants 40-0 on the first edition of Sunday Night Football. Kerry Underwood saying Chris Collinsworth slid in, and then the Giants just got blanked in their own stadium. And it was all Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, who were in a season of destiny. My early overreaction, the Cowboys might be legit.
I don't really. The Giants just looked really bad. Dak Prescott didn't even play that well. He had 143 yards. That was it. He didn't throw a touchdown.
It's all it
took. Didn't throw a pick. That's all it did.
Rain.
Yeah, the defense played. That Cowboys,
it's an asterisk.
That Cowboys defense played really well.
Rain's not going to matter.
Spoken like a
Dallas.
True fan of a dome stadium team.
Who said
Every time there's rain, the game is null. It's void to Braden. It's like a team could win the championship, and he would still just be like, it was raining. just like when the Bears lost to the Colts, and it was raining.
Well, the Bears opened up their season last year against the 49ers, and it was raining.
It was raining.
Just how that
well,
turned out.
The
Niners were amazing.
The skies opened
the
up. Fields was able to put together a nice drive to take the lead, and then all of a sudden the skies opened up on Trey Lance and the Niners, and then he hurt himself. And just like, that was bad. It was a water park in the stadium. Yeah.
Speaking of asterisks, did you hear Mike Tirico say that the Chiefs lost to the Lions win has an asterisk on it because Travis Kelce and Chris Jones didn't play?
I mean, I guess, but also, like, this is a team that won the championship last year. Like, you would think that any team beating them, regardless of if they had all their weapons, is on. There's really no asterisk wins in football.
No.
You only play 17 games. Like, there's no. It's not baseball. It's not like you can every week you put your best foot out there and you have to get a win or a loss. They play once a week.
I just say in terms of, you know, overall outlook on the season, sometimes there are because, you know, every game is its own game. And there's always upsets. There's always surprise winners, surprise losers. I, for one, went 0-6 last year. So it's very hard to predict anything that happened.
Well,
you know?
The bottom line is a lot of teams will end up getting 7 or so wins. And like a lot of teams will end up getting 8 or so wins. Like at the end of the day, you're going to win some, you're going to lose some. Last game of the last week before we end the segment here. We're running a little long. We got into pick six, but we'll just recap it really fast. Jets and Bills. Feels like I'm not a huge Rodgers guy by any means. Hope for a speedy recovery. Feels like we were kind of cheated out of what could have been a great season for him.
It was
a
great night
on
Twitter, though.
It was a funny night on Twitter.
Yeah.
But it was I feel like we were cheated out of what could have been a fun season for the Jets, and it was instead four plays.
I just wish we could have seen more of that Aaron Rodgers-Garrett Wilson combo.
Yeah.
I think that would have been so much fun, but Yeah, I think we were cheated out as well, and it stinks that he will not play a single snap again this year. And
also,
maybe never again with the Jets.
Early overreaction. The Bills, Josh Allen looked kind of...
Yeah.
Well, and what was it raining in that one? I forget.
Medium rain.
Well, I think the Bills should be extremely embarrassed they didn't win that game, by the way. I mean, the fact that it had to go to overtime and the Bills were the ones to force overtime and then they still lost in a punt return touchdown. Josh Allen with four turnovers. I mean, it's probably an early overreaction. He'll probably come back out this week and next and just light everybody up, but they need to get back on the same page, that's for sure.
Zach Wilson's terrible, by the way. I will say that. That's all I have to say.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, you are a New York Jet. Let's move on to the next segment here. We're going to get into some pick six after a commercial or two. You're listening to The Red Zone. Mikey Fernelli, Benjamin Hootie, Braden Fogerson in for the last segment of the Red Zone here today. Starting a little late because we had some fun going over the entire slate of games last weekend. Some overreactions, some underreactions, and now get ready for some even worse takes as we give you this second edition of the Pick 6. I'm trying to get the rankings up here so I can tell you what we were at last week. Steve, our resident radio advisor and Lions fan with a 3-3 start. Mr. Fernelli, myself, and a 2-4, good for second place somehow. Ben and the guest, who was Scott Beaton last week, with a 1-5. And a zero burger from Burger Ferguson over there on the producer's seat in this Red Zone booth. Braden, the only way is up, is what you told me today as I walked into the office. 0-6 start. How does that one feel?
How about this weather? It's cooling down.
One could say it was raining.
It was raining.
Yeah. All right, let's get into this. We don't have too much time. We're going to go through all of our picks. You heard us talking about these teams just a couple minutes ago, but now new matchups. First, tonight, in about 15 or so minutes, this one will get underway. 15, 20 minutes. We're going to have the Vikings and the Eagles. I couldn't think of it for a second. The Vikings and the Eagles. Steve Cease, with his crown in the top of pick six, he went with the Eagles, and I'm going to agree. And for guests for this week, we don't have one of our guests starting next week. We'll have a WZND guest every time. We're just going to go with what America thinks, so we're going to go Philly on that one too. So, boys, are you going to make it a sweep, or are there going to be points in play on this one for somebody?
I'm going to play it safe and go E-A-G-L-E-S Eagles.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Eagles. I think it's kind of crazy to think Vikings start 0-2, but the Eagles are just a powerhouse at this point.
I don't think he's going to be particularly bad. Then again, I've never thought there's been a real like primetime Kirk gets scared of the bright light thing. But then it is. You know what I mean? It can't be real until it is. You know what I mean? It happens all too common. And the Eagles proved it last week in that win against a pesky Patriots team. They are, you know, the same team that won the NFC last year.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next one. Green Bay and Atlanta. There is some versatility in this one a little bit. Steve, our resident Lions fan, riding high on a 1-0 start for the Lions, decided to continue to root against the rest of his division and pick the Atlanta Falcons. I am going to have to sadly pick the Packers. I'm just trying to pick the most modestly I can based on who I think will actually win. So I'm going to go with Green Bay, and America also thinks Green Bay. Ben, Burger, Brandon, you tell me first.
Packers. It's not by much, but, you know, yeah.
I think the Ben's typing in our picks. He's doing it on a spreadsheet for us, too. I will say this. I had to watch the Packers last weekend. I was forced to. They played the Bears. I don't think Jordan loves all that. Like, he's going to be fine, but he was just leaning on Aaron Jones again, as always, as his buddy Aaron did all last year. Like, it's just a thing they do. When you have a good run game and you have a good offense, you can do it, and so I appreciate that. But the Packers' defense was what I think did really well. They made the Bears' offense look completely confused out there, and I think that's something to be reconciled with. And we forget, this is a team that's still should have been a playoff team for the last couple years. There was all kinds of random nonsense with Aaron Rodgers and stuff like that. They got in the way, but this is still a good team. And if Jordan Love could be serviceable, I think they're going to continue to be good.
I think they're a good team, and I don't think you're giving Jordan Love enough credit, honestly. I think he looked really well. And honestly, I think all I needed to see was that performance last week to say that the Packers are going to be a good team this year and probably make the playoffs. Because all Jordan Love needs to do is sit in the pocket and find open receivers, or exactly what you said, find the open dump off to Aaron Jones, who is a little hurt right now. I think Atlanta's frisky, but I'm going to stick with the Packers.
The power
this
of
week.
A good defense and some strong offensive weapons is insane. Look at Brock Purdy. Look at Mitch Trubisky, the year the Bears won the division. I mean, if you have a serviceable quarterback and a great team around him, it really proves that the value of a good quarterback can only take your team to another level. It can't,
like if you have a mid quarterback, he'll be a Jimmy Garoppolo on the Niners, or he'll be, you know, Trey Lance on the Niners. It just depends on their how they factor into the team around them. Let's talk about the Buccaneers and the Bears. Some more alliteration for your Buccaneers. Steve went with the Buccaneers. So did the guest with America's pick. I think the Bears have to bounce back, right? I mean, they have to try. I'm going to stop making homer picks at some point this season because I don't want to lose too many points. But, like, yeah, Baker looked really good, and the Bucs looked pretty solid. And like you pointed out, Ben, that defense is really solid. But I think the Bears have to do something. Otherwise, they have to throw in the towel again, it seems like.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Bears for this week and this week only.
Cautiously optimistic about
like,
the Bears.
It's just like last week. Like, I was very optimistic last week that they were going to beat the Packers. Not, like, saying that it was going to happen 100%, but I felt good about it potentially happening. I need to feel that same way this week, or else we're just in full free tank mode again this year, and things will not look good. I'll take the Bears this week, but if they don't win, then we're going to start looking differently.
2-2 tie. Steve and the guest, Bucks, myself, and Benjamin Hootie showing our Chicago roots. Berger, you're not a Chicago sports fan by any means. What do you think?
I absolutely hate every team from Chicago, and I will pick Chicago.
Why is that?
Not expecting that.
Because in 2020, it was a 19-20 game, and for some reason, I'm just going to let that be
that
my
was
deciding
when Brady factor. Brady forgot it was the fourth down. Mm. That was the classic meme of holding up the four fingers.
Moment.
Yeah, that was when Tom forgot it was fourth down. All right, let's get into the Chiefs and the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know. This is a tough one. Steve went with the Chiefs. The guest in America went with the Chiefs. I'm going to go Kansas City, but I don't like that. I think Jacksonville showed me everything I needed to see last week, that they're going to be good, and I still don't want to pick against a team that won it all last year. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I would say it's a win-win if I just pick the Chiefs, because either I win this or my team that I hate the most loses. So I will go Chiefs.
I said I was going to bring them up during pick six. I'm going with the Jags this week. I think that they get their revenge at Arrowhead, correct?
Mm-hmm. I believe
No, this is in Jacksonville. Either way, I think they get their revenge from last year. I think the Jaguars are a really good team. That offense is just awesome. And then Braden was giving us all of his thinking that they're going to be a good defense this year. So I'll stick by him with that one. We'll see what happens. Obviously, Kelsey should be back this week. But I like that offense. They have three great receivers and an incredible run game with Etienne. And what more can you ask out of Trevor Lawrence? So
there are points possible on the board. When I say stuff like that, it means that if we all say the same team, obviously there's either we all go down one or we all go up one. But now Ben breaks the sweep with the Jacksonville pick.
It's crazy to me to think that the Chiefs are going to start 0-2, and I probably should change it, but I'm not going to.
Right.
I'm just going to stick with Jacksonville. Hopefully pick up points.
That was
else.
Exactly why all of us didn't do very well last week, because all of us were like, oh, there's no way this team starts 0-1
right.
in Buffalo or in Kansas City. And here we are. I want to say the Marlins. Baseball's on the mind. Because I have MIA written on my sheet instead of, so just Miami, but I was reading that as Marlins. The Dolphins and the Patriots. Steve said the Dolphins, guests said the Dolphins, and it seems like I just keep agreeing with Steve and the guests, but I'm gonna go with the Dolphins as well. I think I saw everything I needed to see last weekend about Tua Tagovailoa and this Dolphins team. They are really, really good. When he's healthy, they are so good.
So I really badly need to turn around my 0-6, and so I called on my Dolphin fan brother to give me advice on how they can win. And he said Tua has never lost to New England yet. Mm. And I think that is a stat that is going to do it for me.
That's a good stat. That's a good stat. That's like Tommy Stats right there.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with all you guys on this one. It's the Patriots kind of remind me of what a lot of these teams. They're all very frisky right now, and it's going to be tough to see. I feel like the Patriots will play them close, kind of how they did with the Eagles, but just that Dolphins offense is just way too high-powered. Tyreek Hill is just, he's something else on top of Tua. So I'm going to stick with the Dolphins this week, and we'll hopefully get a clean sweep across the board.
Carr versus Carolina. It's the last game we're going to talk about today. The Saints and the Panthers. Steve Cease went with the New Orleans Saints and Derek Carr. So did the guest. So did I. I like what we saw about Derek Carr. They got a nice win in a frisky game, and I think they could do the exact same against the Carolina Panthers.
Give me Panthers.
You must be sour about Derek Carr still.
No, I love Derek. I just feel like Derek likes to keep it very not aggressive. If he tries and goes too aggressive, he throws picks. He's
true.
More comfortable just throwing short passes, and he does well with it. But I feel like the Panthers just are either going big or they're not. And I feel like if the Panthers get things rolling, the Saints won't really be able to keep up.
I want to be different with you, but I'm going to stick. I think the Panthers are really bad. I think they might be one of the worst teams in football. Obviously, I would like to see Bryce Young get that first career win in the big lights Monday Night Football, but I'm going to stick with the Saints here. I think Derek Carr is a serviceable enough starting quarterback, and he's going to do his job, get the win there, and get the Saints to 2-0.
Weirdly enough, there's two Monday Night games this week as well. There's that Steelers game as well on Monday, which is kind of weird. They don't usually do that this early on in the season, but we got the two Monday Night games. I'm pretty sure I'm right about that because I was doing my confidence pool today, and I saw that. Really quick, we have a couple minutes here before the show's up. Let's hear some predictions for tonight's score. That's always kind of fun to look back at in about a couple hours and see what everyone thought. I will start. The line was set at 49. Kind of think that'll go under. Because they're both really good offenses, but neither of them scored that many points last week is my thing. Give me Eagles 24, Vikings 13.
Who did I pick? Remind me who I picked.
You picked the Eagles.
Yeah, we all picked the Eagles. Sweep.
I would say Eagles 28.
Okay.
And Vikings 14.
Okay, so close to mine, but different enough where the Price is Right gets into play, and if one of us goes over, then you know you're going to win that battle. You said 28 to 14.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was relying on two field goals, and you were or a missed PAT, and you're just saying two touchdowns straight up.
Yeah. What is the weather like in Philadelphia tonight?
That's Brayden's question. Well, you're a weatherman for TV10 now.
I'll turn the weather sounder on.
0% rain. I'm going high scoring. Give me Eagles 38 to the Vikings 30.
Ooh, that would be a good shootout.
I would watch.
I like it. I think both offenses are going to be clicking on all cylinders tonight. Oh, yeah.
It's on Fox tonight, I believe. Yeah. So.
Amazon Prime.
Oh, it's on. Yeah, it's Thursday Night Football. Prime. It's on Prime.
We're back to Prime.
Prime. It's Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a good crew. That's a solid crew. Kirk grew on me a lot last year. I don't know how he does it. When I call more than one game a week on the radio, my voice is shot.
Kirk is the biggest Notre Dame hater of all time. So when he's like outside of like College Game Day, perfectly fine with that. But when he's like either on College Game Day or calling a game on Saturdays, he's always taking shots at Notre Dame for some reason. He's always undervaluing them.
He must just rest and watch football all day Sunday because he does Thursday Night NFL as of last season, and then he does College Game Day. Then he also calls usually the game that College Game Day is at. He usually calls that game too. He is making good money and drinking a lot of tea apparently. I guess. That'd be me. If I was doing that many games a week, I'd be drinking about as many Dunkin' Refreshers as I could. That's my secret.
I mean, he's calling the biggest games in the nation, so
yeah.
He's winning at life.
You can't get too tired then. I guess it's easier to not get tired when it's, you know, the premier NFL game of the week and the premier college football game of the week. Next week on The Red Zone, we will talk about how poorly we all did on Pick 6. Thank you again for listening. I'm Mikey Fernelli for Brayden Fogerson and Ben Hootie. Have a good night.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson with now drives inside. Going to find Mary Clapton for her first three of the day. And it's good.
Creek owned the league last year.
And sure. Personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
I dare you, I've got fun.